You're listening to the Esoterics Podcast, hosted by Joe Figueres and Fiorelise Franco.
Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. How's everybody doing?
I'm doing excellent, Joe.
Today, we are very excited. We have a very special guest today, spiritual self-improvement coach Santana of Vibe to Vibe. Welcome, Santana.
Hi. So happy to be here. I've been looking forward to this for weeks.
Oh, we're so excited to have this conversation with you. We have both had sessions with you, and I know mine was incredibly helpful, and I still listen to the meditation like at least once a week. So
awesome. Yeah. Yes, I love hearing that. Love it, love it, love it. Love the feedback.
For our audience who doesn't know, so the session that we had was theta healing sessions with Santana, and these were done remotely, and this is part of their services that you offer, correct?
Yes, yes. So, you know, we did a little bit of everything. So we went into the chakras and kind of went into limitations, whether it be beliefs or just energy we're holding, or, you know, we kind of go into the mental, emotional, physical, spiritual fields. So mm-hmm. You guys got all the goods, a little bit of everything, which is always helpful.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. I love that you were able to sort of get in there and you know, look and see and tell me what it is that I most needed. The thing I wanted to also update you on is that I've also been working with a breath worker who specializes in central nervous system regulation. And it's been amazing to me. Just my reactions, my initial reactions on the day-to-day have really changed and calmed the hell down, right?
Yes.
I'm kind of high strung.
Yes. No, working with your central nervous system is a huge component, and especially as we move into this year, but just working with our central nervous system from where we've been. So congratulations, because that's going to help. I mean, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, because that central nervous system's just, it's our main hub.
Yeah, you know, it really is. And I had no idea. I had no idea until you said something. I was like, what? I'm not nervous.
We're all a little nervous. The world we live in makes us a little nervous, right? So yeah, we have to learn how to sit in some type of safety at some point. We can't stay in that nervous energy forever. It accumulates to anxiety, right? So, so congratulations. I love that with the breath work coach. You're going to see huge results.
Yeah. It's eliminating fear is what that is. It's eliminating my fear-based reactions that, you know, of anxiety and stress and overwhelm. Fiorelise knows don't overwhelm me, because I am completely, you can't work with me. I'm unworkable.
No, I totally get that. And I really had to learn how to work with the central nervous system for the last few years. Exactly like you said, because I've always had high anxiety. So once I started working with that and learning, probably for the last 10 years, working with the central nervous system, but mostly, you know, not knowing you're working with the central nervous system, it's working with your anxiety. It's learning how to work with the anxiety. But when you look back, you're like, that was all central nervous system. It was everything that I needed to do to learn how to feel calm, you know, first, just for a little bit, to just make, you know, rational decisions and things like that. So you're gonna start to feel that emotionally and get more clear-headed, and it's a bonus to everything.
Pluto and Capricorn, man. That was me. That was my life.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah.
Fiorelise, do you want to talk about what's been going on?
Yeah. So before we get started full into the depth of this conversation, that I would just like jump ahead a little bit. I did want to share with you just what my brief experience this weekend, because we just went through that Pluto in Aquarius transit on the 20th, and we had our annual mushroom trip scheduled on that day, and it was honestly, on coincidence, it was just like the weekend that like we're like, oh, we're all available. We don't have any plans. Let's do it this Saturday. And we did. And so this is our fourth annual that we've done. And so we go to our friend's house. Other times we've rented Airbnbs or done something a little bit different. But this time, the last 2 years, we'll just go to his house because we realized we're like, why are we spending money on an Airbnb? You have a great house. It's just, you know, lovely and we can just hang out here. And we did a full dose, which is normally the amount it would take like during a ceremonial dose. And that's like 3.5 grams. Cause the hero dose is like 5, which I honestly, at this point, like I can't even imagine.
Why is it called hero dose? Hero dose?
I know, right?
Because you have to like survive it. I don't
know. Yes. I didn't even like.
You come out a legit hero at the end. You're your own.
With a cape. I didn't even like my microdose. I would not be the hero. I would not at all. I would need saving from a hero.
So in past years, I've had some sessions where the entire time is me and my body and talking to my body and it having to tell me what it needs because it's like I haven't been listening. So that's been in years past. And then in this year, it wasn't so much of that. Like I did not feel like reprimanded because that's what it felt like. It felt like my body was angry with me. Like you're not taking care of me properly kind of thing. But this time it was very visceral. Like my entire body was like shaking very early on. Just like it felt like I was almost like plugged in, like just kind of like an electric wave of energy just kind of running through my body. And at one point, like when I would leave, you know, the safety of like the living room and I'd go to the bathroom and then I was like having my own individual experience by myself in the bathroom. And at one point as I'm done with that, I realized the mushrooms telling me like, it's not just you experiencing what it feels like to ingest mushroom. You're allowing mushrooms to experience human life, like a human body. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's deep.
Yeah.
That's a word.
Yeah. And so once I understood that, I'm like, okay, that's why things feel weird. And that's why you start to question like, okay, why is a human body so weird? And I've said this so many times, like about like, you have to feed it food so often and you have to feed it the right foods. Otherwise it breaks down, it gets unhealthy and you have to eliminate, so often because otherwise it also gets sick. Like there's all those, you know, all those things that are on mushrooms are just so weird. Like it's so weird. Like it's almost like you don't understand. Nothing makes sense. None of that makes sense. Like the human body doesn't make sense. Anyway, once I got past all that.
You're tapping into something. What are you tapping? What do you think you're tapping into? Because that questioning, right? The feeling, you're tapping into the spiritual embodiment of because you're feeling like this doesn't fit. This isn't.
Yes. It's like strange for the mushroom to like be in a human body. And it's like questioning, like, why do you guys have these things? Like, they're kind of weird.
Why do you poop? It's gross.
Yeah. Why do you poop? It's gross. Yeah, definitely. So once I got past all of that and I kind of just allowed myself to sit, we took my dog with us. We took Honey with us and I'm looking at her and I'm realizing like, we put so much onto animals, like we expect certain expressions and stuff from them, but like really, they don't really have that many expressions. They kind of just have like one or two. They don't have like a full face really in that way of like having to elicit full expressions like you would expect from a human. So that, and I'm looking at her and then I'm allowing like the grief from, you know, from losing Ruby to just kind of allowing it to come up because I was really afraid to go to a really dark space with grief and being on mushrooms and all that. But in that moment, I started to I got this understanding of all the things that your body holds on to and that your body holds on to grief. If you don't allow the grief to be expressed and you just have to let it out, like you have to let it run its course through your body in the different ways. And then I was crying, but it wasn't like, I wasn't sad. It was just allowing that the emotions to kind of pass through me. And then also realizing like how much we hold on to. And I have felt this before. I felt this with other sessions with mushrooms where like, I feel like I'm going to give birth. Like I feel like there is something in my womb and it's like ready to like come out. Like I feel like I'm having contractions, like it's being birthed. And it's just the reminder that I've done that, that I've gone through that, and my body still holds on to the memory of that. Because that is, even though it's a beautiful thing, it is a traumatic event, and especially for your body. Like that's a lot to go through. And so just the acknowledgement and like thanking my body, like for everything that it provides and for everything that it's gone through for the lives that it's carried, all of that. And it was just really beautiful. And it was just exactly what I needed.
Yes. I love that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I do. I love that because I think part of, grief that we tend to forget is that it's a transformation process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You are literally transforming from one way of being to another. So when people don't allow their grief, they're not allowing for that change to occur, right? Because we have to go into like the acceptance that something has occurred. Mm-hmm. Usually, mm-hmm. right? Isn't like acceptance the first step? I can't remember all the grief steps, but it is a transformation process. And I think for you, like, really having to process all of that. And you know, you were mentioning that it feels like birth. Mm-hmm. And so my mind immediately goes to, yes, you're like birthing a new version of yourself.
A new version. That's the transformation.
Consciousness, you know, you're birthing this new consciousness. And it's like, and now you have to step into a reality that you haven't really known mm-hmm. without Ruby.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. Yeah. So it's kind of birthing that part of yourself, but really ultimately I think it's that consciousness, and the same way that you were experiencing the mushroom investigating your body.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Like you were in the consciousness of that. Like, yeah. And so I'm sure somewhere in your signs, that's that part of your gifts is to be able to experience a different variety of consciousness, is to understand them.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What was your takeaway, Fee, or like your biggest takeaway?
It was that, just really reiterating that understanding that your body holds on to a ton, especially if you don't allow it to digest, to process.
Oh, if disease, you hold yourself back.
Mm-hmm. If you hold yourself back from experiencing the full range of emotions in whatever given situation, they'll stay in there. Like they don't go away. If anything, they just remain stuck. So allowing yourself to just feel it. And I've done that. It was sometime last year. I had an argument with a loved one. And in that moment, I felt like, I wanted to cry. And so I just took myself away from the situation and just let myself go and cry. And I found that my old self would have like sat there and story told like, this person's mm-hmm. so mean, like I can't believe they would talk to me like that, and kind of all these stories that I'm telling about, you know, my loved one to myself. It's like, well, that's not helpful, and I'm just making that up, really. Why don't we just like cut the chatter and just allow myself to feel like whatever it is that I'm feeling? And I did that. And then I was done. I was done in like 10 minutes. It was just, it was gone. And I wasn't mad. I wasn't sad. I wasn't like, it was just, I allowed it to run its course. So just really reiterating that, that was really my biggest takeaway. And then I pulled the card at the end and then I got death and rebirth. So I was like,
yeah, okay. Of course. The ability to, or the beauty, the gift, the freedom of expressing your emotions is so incredible. And when you finally come to a place where you can do that, especially when you weren't taught that from early mm-hmm. childhood caregivers, mm-hmm. Early nurturers and stuff, you were taught to hold it in, don't cry. Yep. If you cry, I'm going to mm-hmm. give you something to cry about. Not that sort mm-hmm. of nonsense. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't take a lot to work through your emotions, but first you have to allow yourself that process. And if you're not taught that, how do you know? You don't know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a beautiful thing when you learn that, like, hey, I can say this and talk about this and process this. And it doesn't have to mean that something bad is going to happen. And it actually uh-huh. strengthens self-trust, self-awareness, but also our relationships.
Yeah. Yep.
I love that. That's a wonderful.
Yeah. So that was my weekend.
That was, it was good. It was good. You did a lot this weekend. That was a lot. That was a lot for a weekend. Congrats. Good job.
Santana, did you have any big emotional sort of, I don't know, come to Jesus moments or whatever with the 20th for you?
Yes. I think that the biggest thing that really came to me was how much people pleasing can cause you to create a reality that is not your own.
Yes.
And that is really, that one hit me pretty hard. And it was coming in bits and pieces. I was already having a lot of synchronicities around that, because for the last year I've been working on root chakra stuff and creating a safety and stability, central nervous system stuff, right? But to create a new foundation, you have to be in a place where you are the creator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And when you have a codependency with something, you're not the only creator. You're creating from beliefs that were taught to you or conditions that are just so deeply embedded that you don't see them or feel them, but they're causing issues. And so this time around was more like, no, I am the creator. I'm solo in this, because I've released a lot of, you know, codependency things. So now it's like you sit in the new version, you're like, oh, it's just me. Like I'm just leaning on my own creative abilities or what I want. Or so you have to learn all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn all of that when you're codependent with someone else's beliefs or a pattern or conditioning or just energy in general or a consciousness. You know, you're not really solo.
Yeah.
you're building with something else. In the background. And so it dictates your actions, your thoughts, how you move through the world. Mm-hmm. And now as the 20th hit, you know, it was like, that's gone. So what does this look like now?
Yeah.
And so at that point, you have to kind of figure out what you really do want, what you really do connect with. But that's also a little bit of grief.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know? That's a little bit of grief when someone's like, "All right, get in that boat. You're going to sail solo. You got this." Like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. You know, hold the phone. I'm not quite sure I know what I'm doing. So there is grief with like letting go of what has even kept you in fear, because if you had the fear, you weren't doing it. So you were safe.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you have to like grieve that fear a little bit too, and move forward into, that was me anyway, you know, okay, I have to grieve that a little bit so that I can move into power.
And you realize that that's actually, you're riding that wave of that 8 universal year, which is all about, these are all the lessons that we're going to learn this year. Where am I disempowered? What do I need to do in order to feel empowered? And then on the other side, what actions do I need to take to help others feel this way as well?
Oh, for sure. And you know, that number 8 rewards effort.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So the effort that we put in is actually going to help us, especially with the year of the dragon.
Yes.
I mean, the wood dragon, we're going to be the number 8 and the dragon this year. It's just this perfect formula for getting things done and really being held accountable for all of our efforts that we put in to not go back. The dragon's not going to let you go backward. There's just no way.
Yeah.
It's all about power. So,
and so I've heard you reference now, so this is referencing Chinese astrology.
Yes.
So can you tell us for our listeners who might not be familiar with Chinese astrology and the dragon, what are you seeing that means for this year?
So I am not a Chinese astrologer by any means, but from what I do know, I have a friend who is a numerologist, and she was basically explaining the year of the dragon to me. And from what I understand about the dragon is that there's a lot of enthusiasm. There's a lot of power, courage, tenacity, talent, excellence, but ultimately power. And I think what I'm seeing for this year for us is that because we've been shifting from what keeps us from whether it's accelerating or just coming out of survival mode, right? Coming out of the root chakra. We've been working on that in 2023, it felt like. And we're still going to obviously work on it because we're building, but it feels like the year of the dragon is going to allow us to have that tenacity and have that direction and that drive to say, like, I'm not going back. I still have to figure this out, and I may not know exactly everything. But if I put in effort, here comes in the number eight. If I put in effort, then I'm going to understand my own ability to do something different, which is power, right? Like you learning how to do something different, and whether you're good or bad or don't know how to do it, regardless, you're stepping into something new. And when you step into something new and carry it forward in some way, shape, or form, it's allowing you to understand yourself on a deeper level. And ultimately that taps into just your ability to whatever it is, manifest, change, create. That's power. Yeah. That's understanding that you're capable of doing something very different from what you're used to. So I think for 2024, I think it's going to be, we're going to learn like a variety of powers. I don't think it's just going to be one.
No,
I think like each month I feel like is going to like slowly get the ball rolling where we're figuring out what's holding us from accumulating power or just from understanding ourselves in from a different point of view. And then as we build this each month, each sign is going to bring in the strength of that sign for our evolution.
Yes.
To evolve. To evolve. And, you know, we're supposed to learn from each sign. We're supposed to be open to each sign or each month or each energy so that we can kind of like Fierolis was saying, right? I was telling her like to understand a new consciousness.
Yep. Yes. It's the beauty of that algorithm, that astrology algorithm.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And I think the combination of the number eight and the dragon allows us, I think being held accountable is important for a lot of us because when we're coming into something new and we tend to panic because most of us have a controlling nature, right? We want to control things in our lives, especially the unknown. We have so many unknowns in our lives that we tend to want to control. So I think with the number eight and the dragon, it's kind of saying you can't control, but it's going to be the things that you're going to be held accountable for. You know, those are the things that you can control. It's the stuff that you can be held accountable for. And I think it's going to be kind of like the way that my numerologist was saying is like a code of honor, right? You're learning how to honor yourself in a way that is going to be very different from how you were honoring yourself before. And it's about probably building for a lot of us moving forward because this shift is not here to like... I mean, we've got 20 years of Pluto being in Aquarius. I get it. But, and so it's going to be a slow burn. But for those that are, have been looking for this new version of themselves and really trying to apply themselves, this year is going to be, I think, helpful.
Yeah, this is it.
But also hard. It's hard to be held accountable in that way too. You know, you're like, crap. I really do have to do this. And I really do have to step into it, whether I feel fearful or not.
Fearful, this ready is, to, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This is part of my purpose, or this is what I'm being called to do, or whatever it is. So doesn't mean it will be easy, but.
No,
I think that people are going to look back on this year and say, wow. You know, they're going to struggle with it really hard, or those of us that have just done the work and done the work and done the work, it's going to be a new type of energy where we realize that when we actually take those actions, right, that actionable eight energy, wow, it's not as bad as we have made it out to be, or we think that it's going to be.
Yeah.
But right now we're going into it with, I have to address this. I have to do this. I have to think this, feel this, work through this, this year, but we're also being given the support to do that. I think, like I said, the algorithm, the astrology, our astrology, our life, you know, path and purpose, how we express ourselves, our human design, like all of those things. It's so important to understand your soul blueprint, your energy profile and how it best moves through this in order to do it with ease and joy and flow versus challenge and struggle. So it's going to be an interesting year for sure.
Yes.
Definitely. And I think like the biggest thing that I just constantly take away is like, how are my lessons being used as my evolution?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
So I think that that's like what I feel a lot for this year for a lot of people. Like, how are you using these lessons as a way to change or get better or feel better or do better or just be a version of yourself that you feel more in alignment with.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious. So how did you get into the work that you do? How did you get started? Did you have like a massive spiritual awakening? Did you have like a catalyst moment or what happened?
So I had a bunch of catalyst moments. It was almost like I didn't want to wake up for a long time.
Oh.
I was constantly shown a lot of signs. I always thought it was cool that I had synchronicities in my life, but I had a hard time wanting to go into spirituality. My brain was like, that's not safe. That's not, you know, that is not where you need to be. That is not where money is. That is not where, you know, like my brain was like, no. So for a few years, I really did just put it off, but it got stronger and stronger. And then I was a business manager for a gym. And at that point, I was starting to have just a lot of anxiety. I mean, like once a day was like a panic attack. It was bad.
Wow.
And after about a month of just being completely miserable, and not basically due to the job, but due to who I was at that point, uh-huh. I had to find something that was going to help me. So I start, you know, you go to doctors, you start jumping on Google, you start doing all the things, and nothing was really helping me. I didn't want to take a lot of medication. Mm-hmm. So I started to look into holistic approaches. And that's when everything really, really, really started.
It's the gateway drug.
Yeah, it really is, because everything was making sense, right? So you're like, oh my gosh, that is me. Oh my gosh, I am doing that. Oh my gosh. So I found a Reiki master and I went to a session and I got out, and for the first time in my life, walking to my car, and I felt so strange in my body and I couldn't understand why. And when I got into the car, I realized that I didn't have anxiety. Mm. And that's why it felt weird. And it lasted for like days, and I was like on cloud nine. I was, you know, like just upbeat and just like, hey, like in the grocery store, the happiest person, practically skipping through life. I was like, what just happened to me? And I cried and cried and cried because I couldn't remember the last time I had slept like that or was able to breathe the way, you know, I'm like, this is how people breathe. And I'm crying. So after that, I was hooked. And I just had to know more and do more. And so from there, you know, my interest peaked and I started researching more and, you know, finding other practitioners and what it meant and why this worked. So I started digging into the brain. Why does the brain, you know? So I started just going down the Santana path of bridging the spiritual with the logical. And I've been doing it ever since. Mm-hmm.
Why theta healing? What is it that theta healing struck in you? Because it is, I think that I told you that when you are giving a meditation, you're speaking English, but it sounds like you're programming me with alien energy. So how does that all work together?
So I think that the theta healing itself came, I had a teacher that did theta healing and I just found how much it helped me. I couldn't believe how much it was helping me. Theta healing is basically tapping into someone's limitations or limiting beliefs, programming, conditioning, just energy that limits us. And when I learned how to do theta healing, it was great. And, you know, I was taught and I had to practice for a few years before I even helped someone else, before I even got clients. So I think I practiced for 2 or 3 years. And once I got really good at it, especially with myself, because that's who I was practicing on, was just myself. And I was seeing the changes in my own life. It started to be where my own gifts, my own talents and skills, which has always been being very insightful, very, I don't want to say customer service, but it is customer service to some degree, but it's being intuitive without knowing you're intuitive to other people's needs. So I was very good at that. And when I started to bridge that, I realized I loved to coach. So when the coaching and the Theta healing kind of built in together, and that's why I don't even really use just the word Theta healing for sessions anymore, because I'm using the Theta healing and the Reiki, or the Theta healing and limiting beliefs, or whatever it is. So the word Theta healing actually is someone else's healing, right? It's someone that taught me how to use that process. But the technique of it is to go into Theta state, which is the brain state of being, where we get in between. It's like, it's meditative state, but it's where we tap into the subconscious. So that's why you are taught to tap into the limitations and the beliefs or the conditioning of someone else or yourself or whatever it is. And so you're in Theta state, which allows you to tap into that. So Theta state is usually the state right before you wake up and then right before you go to sleep. Yep. And if you have enough self-awareness, you know, right when you're about to fall asleep, that's Theta state. So it's like you're tapping in, and then you'll go into Delta, or you'll go into, you know, another state. But so Theta state, I got started, that's how I got started with it. And I started bridging the coaching with it and understanding people's limitations from more of a logical perspective, not just spiritual, but logical, and what it meant to have those beliefs. So I started to get, you know, a lot of certifications. I was obsessed with it. So I was obsessed with coaching. So I got a few different certifications with, you know, breakthrough and cognitive behavior therapy, things like that, just learning how everything, both energetically, what I was seeing energetically, how that made sense logically in my life, and how you can change those things. So started to bridge the chakras into it, right? So now you're just like throwing everything in. But it was a process to learn each one of those things and learn them well, and then connect all of the dots together.
Yes, it's similar to tetralogy, right? First I learned the Akashic Records, then I learned numerology, then I learned astrology and human design, and now you put them all together, and now you have this amazing, it's like this legacy, but it's specific to you. Your process, your practice, your treatment, quote unquote, is specific to you, because that's the specific. It's a good example. You know how we tell people that everybody has this very specific gift that they put out into the world, and you can't compare yourself with somebody because Reiki practitioners are not the same. So you specifically have bridged these, you know, two or three or four modalities to create this very specific healing that is specific just to you. I've never received anything like it before. So I love that, as somebody who's done the same with, you know, the modalities that I specialize in.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. I'm so glad that you guys like it. And I think, and I completely agree with you. I had to, it took me time. It took me it feels like a lot of time. I'm not going to lie to you. It feels like a very long time to figure out like how your gifts bridge with what you want to do and how you want to help people. It's a process, and I constantly have to tell my students that it takes time. And it's because my biggest thing was did not want to work on anybody until I understood my own gifts. You know, like I really understood them, and I really understood how to do certain things, because one of my worst, or one of my fears, was to not know. That's it. For someone to have a question for me and for me to not know. So I worked very, very hard all the time, constantly. Hours and hours and hours of meditation. I won't lie. Like learning how to meditate, laying down, standing up, sitting, crawling, you know, walking, everything. It was like, how do I plug in? How do I tap in? So
I'm curious then, with all of the modalities and everything that you've learned, what did out of all of this, what did you learn most about yourself?
Oh my gosh. That I am capable of connecting with something that people can't see. And for that. That felt very, very powerful because my very, very logical brain that never even wanted to go into spirituality mm-hmm. had to understand how to process these things and how they look like, what they look like in real, not, I shouldn't say in real life, but in your reality,
yes.
In your body, in your mind, in your behaviors, in your reactions. And those things, I was like, these things actually sync up. They sync and they link. And if we can tap into it, not just logically with, you know, therapy is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Counseling is wonderful, wonderful. But if that's not your go-to and you're more of a spiritual person, like we can be tapping into our self-improvement through the, by the means that we so much love.
Yeah.
The chakras and the planets and energy and numbers and signs, like we can tap in and help ourselves in a way that people have put down for such a long time or not believed in or just kind of put their spirituality on the back burner because honestly, you know, most of the world was just trying to survive. Spirituality was what you did. You pray when things get hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was different. This was like, you pray when things are good and bad and in between and, you know, and not just prayer, but connection and understanding yourself and, you know, meditation. And it's basically, it all came down to self-awareness.
Yeah. Who do you connect with? Is there a specific, do you have a specific spirit guide or any ideology about who are you channeling?
God. So God. So my connection is God. Now that I want to just put, like, if we could put an asterisk, you know, in a podcast, this would be that. because God usually comes with religion, right? And religious beliefs.
Right.
And if your religious beliefs hindered you in some way, right? Which I can sit here and say that was definitely me. I was raised Catholic, so there was a lot of belief systems that I just never really believed in. And I had a hard time believing in them.
Yep.
So I had to work through some of my beliefs with that, but ultimately it's God. And as I worked through those beliefs, it was like, oh no, this is my God. You know, like this, I don't have to believe in like the God of others basically, but in that God is source, God is spirit, God is universal energy, God is also astrology. You know, that's my belief system is that everything is so interconnected. The word I use for it is God, but that's just my own belief. You can give it any name. You call it light, you call it, the name doesn't matter. It's, but my connection is God, source, spirit. Sometimes I use the word creator, very rarely not, but my big word is just the divine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's how I, you know, it's the divine. It's the divinity within you, the divinity within me, the divinity within the world, or however you look at it. So
it's God's spark. And God has zero to do with religion. That's a human construct. That's something that was created by man, religion. It has nothing to do with God's source, goddess, the universe, you know, higher self, all that stuff. So
exactly.
Yeah, I love
that. And I was taught that it's like mother, father, God, right? So it's not a male. It's not just male. It's male, female, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, or no gender at all.
Right.
Right. Just power and light. So.
Excellent. Yeah. Do you have like specific spirit guides that you work with, or is your connection always just that one universal source?
It's the one universal divine
that you're like, I don't need all that. I just need this.
No. And I, you know, I tell my students that too. I'm like, you know, whatever you connect with, go. It's almost like if you went to the store or you needed help somewhere, you know, and you wanted the top, you know, you want to go to the top. Like you don't need the assistant manager. You don't need the sales clerk. Mm-hmm. You want to go straight to the owner. Right. Yeah. You want to go to the big, the master of everything, the master plan, so to speak, rather than dealing with those that are here to help us. obviously spirit guides come into sessions, but they're usually, I'm not dealing with mine. It's someone else's, mm-hmm. right? That are tattling on them or saying like, hey, check in on this chakra or hey, this energy is coming in. So I use spirit guides as I'm open to them, of course, okay. spirit guides mm-hmm. and anything that you bring to the healing table, I am going to be, you know, with welcome arms, regardless of what it looks like, because in all reality, all of that, those energies, are helping you, dark or light. So, yeah. I'm able to sit with any of those energies if they make their presence known, but
right.
usually it's just me and that person. And we're kind of getting into the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Of what's going on with them.
That's amazing. I love that. And I strongly believe, I know I don't have it anymore. Like I know at first with hearing the word God, there was a little bit of a trigger because I was also mm-hmm. raised Catholic. So there was like a little bit of like, no, like I don't believe in the man in the sky. Like I've never been able really to subscribe to that idea of like, the omnipotent, like all knowing, all the whole thing, because then my question was always like, well, if this all powerful person exists and they control everything or whatever, that idea, but why do bad things happen? And you know, and then you run down that tunnel of like of thinking and questioning, and then it doesn't make sense. But yes, through like spirituality and all the work that I've done on myself and just being able to be comfortable with the word God, understanding it as just source. And like you said, the divine and creator, and without it having the religious connotation, and being able to just cut that off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I think I had to do that. I wanted to do that. I didn't want to plug into everybody else's idea of the divine.
Right.
That was a huge thing that my teacher was big about. Like, you need to settle in, because that relationship that you have with the divine, if this is who you're connecting with, you have to get into alignment. It has to be in alignment with you.
Yeah.
So your belief system needs to be in alignment with it. If you're plugging into something mm-hmm. every day, if you're trying to help people with this, you have to have a very clear understanding of it wasn't necessarily an understanding, but it was an emotional feeling like, mm-hmm. you know, like this is what I believe in. And then once that happened and I was able to tap into that, game changer,
yeah,
total game changer, because now I'm not like, oh, is it, what am I hearing? You know, like, mm-hmm. oh, what am I listening to? Oh, what voice? Oh, is that a spirit guide, or, oh, is that an entity, or is that my intuition? You know, yeah. we have all these questions when mm-hmm. we first start out, like, am I hearing voices,
myself up? Right?
Like you start questioning yourself on so many levels. You're like, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it my ego? Is it my heart? Is it, you know, so I had to kind of make sure that I understood what I really believed to God to be, so that when I do connect, I know when I'm connected.
Yes. Okay.
If it's something else, that specific thing isn't happening. Mm-hmm. I'm not feeling that specific thing. Mm-hmm. So I had to, again, like you were saying earlier, Joe, you know, we're not really taught to understand our emotions, and understanding your emotions is part of understanding your intuition.
Yeah.
So I had to really be able to be open to, my emotions so that I could understand the emotional feedback that I would get from connecting to the divine, from an emotional feedback of connecting to my ego.
Yeah.
My ego's not going to feel as good. No. It's going to feel a little different.
This is a really good example for those out there who are listening, who are like, I want to, you know, become a healer. I want to become, you know, an intuitive, or use my connection with, you know, whatever higher power. The first thing, the biggest hesitancy that I find in anybody when I tell them you're intuitive and you know, really need to follow this path and see where it takes you, their question is, what am I opening myself up to?
Yeah.
So when you take a minute to get really clear, a minute, maybe a couple of years, whatever, you take a minute to get clear on what spirituality is to you, what spirit is to you, what spirit you open to. Very early, I was taught by one of my early mentors just to say, I only connect to the absolute highest vibrational frequencies. All others are not allowed. And I said that for so long that now it's just a given, right? That's my sovereignty. I don't experience those lower vibrational frequencies. And I also don't worry about what I'm connecting with. So I believe in God and I will pray to God, legitimate the God patriarchal ideology. But for the most part, I connect to spirit. Plain and simple. I don't care if it's mine, if it's theirs, if it's yours, if it's hers, it doesn't matter. There are messages coming into me clairaudiently, and I'm just interpreting them because mm-hmm. that's how I can best help the person in front of me. So I love this whole idea yes. of identifying how you, because what you're doing ultimately is you're channeling divine energy. Yeah. And so I think it's so, I love the topic of, wait a minute, what are you channeling? How would you, who do you talk to? How does that work? What do you believe? I love this conversation.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And I agree with you big time on, you know, saying like, hey, this is what I connect to and I'm not allowing anything else. I do the same thing, you know? And it's that same sentence that I use to connect to the highest and best for all. Right. Mm-hmm. And so connecting to that and basically learning how to run commands that way.
Yes.
Right. Which is commands are just basically a very long affirmation
yeah.
that you have, right. That you believe in wholeheartedly. And so that also helps keep you connected because now your mind is given a focus.
Yeah.
Yes. Your mind is given, right. And again, bridging the spiritual with the practical or with the logical. So basically saying like, well, this is where we're headed. This is what we're focusing on. We're not focusing on our to-do list. We're not focusing on mm-hmm. any, you know, energy, blah, 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 blah. We're not judging any energy. We're just,
yeah.
this is what we're doing. This is what we're connecting with. Yeah.
So I know you offer a variety of services. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe each one or your most popular ones?
Yeah. So I offer a chakra balance session, which is just getting your chakras into balance. So I give you a summary of what's going on in each of your chakras and let you know if there's any energies there, such as soul contracts, agreements, any issues, not the big stuff, but just like a basic balance. And we get you balanced there. I do an intuitive guidance session, which is basically you bringing me all of your questions or any issues that you're having. And this is a little bit more coaching because we could go over a variety of topics mm-hmm. in that session. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of give you what I'm seeing, what's going on, give you some direction, let you know, hey, feels like you're kind of blocked here. Let's talk about that a little bit. Yeah. And then, so that's the intuitive guidance session. And then I do my favorite, which is the upgrade session. This is a cool session because it's a mixture of the theta healing and, the Reiki. And the upgrade is basically we're going into your chakras and I'm seeing what kind of, you know, if there's any big limitations going on in the body, we balance your chakras. And then we definitely discuss basically how whether leveling you up, making a change, going into a new direction. It's something like that, like the upgrade,
okay.
right? We're getting you an upgrade.
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot of releasing and activating mm-hmm. in that session. And then lastly, I do the soul retrieval sessions. So the soul retrieval sessions are basically, this is like the big session of limitations, belief systems, conditioning, patterns. This is where we get into really the coaching and the what is limiting you from even finding direction or whatever your question is bringing, you know, whatever your issues are at that time. So we kind of go more into the grand scheme of things and we still go into the chakras. And I try to bring the chakras up as much as possible. It allows people to kind of compartmentalize and understand themselves in different degrees in different areas. Mm-hmm. So those are the sessions. You know, each one is different and unique. But the whole point of each session is that we go through the practical or the logical, basically what I have found. That's the first half of your session. Mm-hmm. And then the second half of your session is the meditation.
Okay.
And this is where the spiritual connection happens. So this is where the balancing happens. This is where the releasing happens on the spiritual energetic level. So basically, I take you through a guided meditation of everything we have already discussed prior to the meditation, and we release it. So we release it from each chakra that we discussed, and then we activate energy, we activate consciousness or whatever we're doing in that session. But the guided meditation is specifically made for you. Mm-hmm. It's individualized. And then you get that recording so that you can listen to that meditation anytime. Or if you're, you know, having that same struggle, you have a meditation to walk you through it, and you're releasing energy. And because energy does not know or recognize time or space, you're good to go at any point. Just reusing that meditation, or being able to even listen to the session in general.
Yeah.
So the big thing with me is, you know, again, you get the coaching, but you're going to also lay down and receive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And get the Reiki and go through the energetic experience of releasing what you've been holding, because it's free will. It's your free will. It is your free will to release what we discuss. It is your free will to allow for activation. It is your free will to be like, I'm taking this out of my body. I'm not holding on to this anymore, whether it be mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually.
Yeah. You mentioned your students. Do you teach classes, or do you mentorship, or how does that work?
I teach Reiki. So I teach level one. And then depending, you know, based upon, you know, certain things, mm-hmm. I can teach Reiki too as well.
Okay.
And then, you know, help someone become a Reiki master if that's so what they, if they wish to do. But I was just saying, my students, because when I'm teaching them, you know, Reiki one, it's like their connection and all of those good things. So I teach that. But that's like, you know, the teacher-student thing is usually, it's already a relationship usually that is occurring.
Okay.
You know, so I very rarely will get like a very random person and be like, hey, teach me Reiki, and because it's one-on-one. I don't teach in a group setting.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. So a lot of Reiki teachers will teach, you know, 5 to 10 people at a time. Yeah. I don't do that.
Okay.
It is one-on-one. I want to know what your gifts are. I want to know what your blockages are. I want to know what, you know, you get the full package, you get, you know, all those sessions I mentioned, you're getting those with me because that I want to better understand how to help you with your gifts and teach you how to connect to what you want to connect to, mm-hmm. right? Like making sure that it is so individualized that you are your own Reiki healer by the end of it.
That is contemporary spirituality at its core. And it is the thing that just lights me up because, and this is not slamming traditional Yusui practitioners, but traditionally, like true legitimate traditional Yusui practitioners are like, the Reiki flows through you, don't deliver messages, that's not your place, blah, blah, blah. But that's old patriarchal Reiki. Reiki is ultimately teaching you how to channel life force energy into somebody else to heal. Mm-hmm. So when you're teaching somebody how to do that, you absolutely must have an idea of what their strongest abilities are in the first place, because those are the abilities that they're going to use to empower their Reiki. And I just love that whole modernistic approach to it. And so happy that you do that, because a lot of practitioners don't. More and more are, but there's some out there that are still very strict and restrictive. And I don't think that serves the student.
Yeah. And I think for me, you know, when I got my Reiki one, I got it twice because I'm just that kind of student. But, you know, I was like, I'm going to need another person to just make sure this is exactly what we're doing here.
I did
here.
The same thing, right? I don't trust that first person. I don't know why. It's my Capricorn.
There's more, right? There's more. I missed something here. When I did that, you know, I you just learn what kind of teacher or person or healer you want to be, right? Yeah, you experience other people so that you know who you want to be. So that's basically what I did was I was like, you know what? I really wish somebody would have taken the time with me one-on-one. And I did actually. I ended up finding people who took that time one-on-one. Yes. And I vowed, I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that someone understands their strengths and then where they're kind of holding themselves back. And we are going to practice. Mm-hmm. We are going to practice until you get it. And you're going to practice on me. Yeah. You're going to practice on me. I agree with you completely.
Is it in person? Do you give them in person or do you do them virtually as well? Or teach
Since COVID, I've done both. Oh, I've done, fantastic. You know, I've given someone that's in Michigan, you know, Reiki one, because energy doesn't recognize time or space.
Right.
Right. It doesn't recognize it. Energy is energy. I was able to do that. And no, the students, I have a few students that I've done long distance and it's still the same concept, except that, you know, I'm asking them to work on someone. So their partner or their friend brings someone in to work on.
Yeah.
And then right behind them, I'm kind of doing it. So, you know,
yeah,
the person that's laying there is getting a little bit of Reiki from everybody. They walk out feeling fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. So for the intuitive nerds out there, me, I want to go back and talk about your process of channeling. First off, I want to make sure that it's okay to share with you or share with the listeners what I shared with you about what the channel that I got about how your words are energy. Yes. Okay. Prior to, working with Santana, we traded. I got this channel from Spirit that basically said, this is how her abilities work. The words that she speaks in those meditations that you get and why they continue to work, you know, a year after is because the energy that is transmitted on those meditations are their actual legitimate programming. Mm-hmm. Like energetic programming, who knows what that is, right? I didn't ask for details. I was like, that's cool. So when you're in that and you are channeling God and what's coming out, are you aware, like, what is your frame of mind? Like, what are you feeling? And, you know, just take me inside your head when you're actually in that channel.
That's a great question. So basically when I'm channeling, it's definitely like a flow of consciousness. I'm already kind of a little bit on a roll, right? Mm-hmm. So I've already warmed up. So I've connected with whoever's across from me or whatever that is. I need some type of conversation. Mm-hmm. I need to know you a little bit. And then, so by that point, once I'm connected, it kind of goes blank. I won't lie to you.
Yeah.
It goes blank and it's just me and the divine.
Yep.
And the words are either, my eyes are usually very closed. Even when I'm doing sessions on you guys and we're in meditation, my eyes are as much closed as yours are. And so when I close my eyes, because that helps my clairaudience, it helps me, you know, it helps my clairaudience and my claircognizance. It also just allows me to, whether I'm, you know, seeing the words or just hearing it, or it's just coming out of my mouth, because usually when I'm channeling, it's all the gifts. It's not just one. I'm not reading a paragraph. It's going to be words as I'm, you know, if we're in your root chakra and as I move into your sacral and I'm literally imagining moving through your body. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going with you as much as you are. I'm imagining your calves. I'm imagining your entire body. Uh-huh. And as I'm working through with that, things will just pop up, whether it be in my ear, my vocals, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. And I loved that you brought that up in our session because I was like, that's what it is. that flow from, you know, my vocals or from my words or, and using specific words. Yep. Because each session with someone is different. Sometimes I'm using words mm-hmm. that I don't ever use in my daily life mm-hmm. ever. That when I'm working on you, I'm like, okay, we're using, you know, this word popped mm-hmm. up with you and I never say this word. And so that tends to happen. And I definitely know I'm connected, but it's blank and I'm listening and I'm watching and I'm going through your body or whatever we're doing. I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm fully invested. I'm not anywhere else. Yeah. But I think practicing dropping this is going to sound very strange, but dropping myself.
Yes.
Like leaving my own everything yeah. out of it.
Yeah.
It's not about me anymore. It's about the divine in this person. Mm-hmm. I have nothing to do with it. I am just the translator. That is it.
Okay.
Just a translator. So when I put it that way, it allows my gifts to come through. Like you're just supposed to listen and say, like a translator, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
They're not supposed to add stuff,
no.
right? They're yep. just supposed to literally say what one person is saying to the other. Yep. And so, and that's what channeling is.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So as I allowed for that channel to come through, or as I do that, more and more will come through. And that's why sometimes we go over in session. Mm-hmm. You know, my clients are like, Santana's issue is not like short of time. That is not the issue. The issue is getting her to shut up. It's getting her to stop. And, you know, and even after, I have to really make sure I'm cutting myself off from you guys at the end of the meditation and say like, okay, goodbye, because I'll keep going because things are still yes. coming up.
Yes.
But you can only give someone so much information without overwhelming yes, them.
Right.
So you have to stop. So yeah, the meditation, that's where the chakras kind of help me too, right? I get to your crown and now we're done.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I don't, that needs to be done. After 7 points of interaction and clearing, you're pretty much, you're good to go. So that's usually what it feels like, to channel. And then, so again, like I just take myself out of it. And then as I'm bringing you guys back, I'm bringing myself back as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I think that it's super freaking interesting, right? Mm-hmm. From, one of the things that I learned early on in my, channeling, sort of journey was that, envision myself as somebody in the back seat. I go and I sit in the back seat, but then my higher self is in the driver's seat, is driving. Right.
That.
And so that's how I first learned how to. And now it's interesting because when I channel, it's just this warm, ooey gooey feeling that comes over me. And that's how I know that my spirit guides are like, move over. I want to talk through you. And it feels like I'm dipped, like they're picking me up and they're dipping me in like warm butter. And so I'm like, oh, there's something coming through. Or interesting about your anxiety. When I very first started out, I would get anxiety and I thought that it was me, and spirit's like, nope, we need to get your attention in a really big way. So we're going to give you anxiety. And see, to this day, when I have to sit my ass down and channel, I'll feel anxious. And I'm like, why? And then, oh, okay, that's why. So again, I'm obviously an intuitive geek, and I love to hear about people's process of connection and how it feels, but it's good for people that want to start channeling to know that it's
yeah.
really is a very positive, wonderful feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And I think my head feels like it gets kind of lifted up.
Yeah.
Like my head feels kind of not there, but I'm very aware in my body. And the reason I think for that is so that I understand what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. So if I'm in a certain point and I get some anxiety, let's say I'm in your solar plexus, right? And I'm like, ooh, this person is having some anxiety, right? Or, oh, I felt some tightness. Or, hey, do you have any knots in your shoulders? Because I was meditating on you and, you know, I was just getting so tight in my shoulders and uncomfortable. And granted, they could be my own, but just checking in, you know, it's typically they're like, no, that's exactly right. I think once I let my head or that logic leave, the head kind of leaves and it's just all spiritual.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I've heard so many practitioners recently talk about that, how some people just call it zoning out. They just like let themselves zone out is what how they describe it. And then they can, you know, proceed and channel or tap in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I have to bring everything to the top of my head first. I have to like sit for a moment, like before I even meditate on somebody, I have to sit with myself and let everything go. You know, there's a process to it.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen, you know, especially for session. I'm meditating on you guys for half an hour before I ever even meet with you.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I meditate for that half hour, that's the half hour I'm meditating on you, not the 15 minutes or whatever's going on in my life that I have to let go of, drop at the door, and then step into, you know, a whole different, not a whole different way of being, but, you know, dropping myself, dropping. Mm-hmm. It's not about me anymore.
No.
So yeah, I think that's a big part of it.
And one of the things that I want to point out to our listeners too is that everybody's process of connection is different. Do not judge yourself against myself or Fearlise or Santana. We have our very specific process of connection because that is what our souls have chosen, yeah. right? Or that's our path or our purpose or where our gifts lie. Yeah. So if you're able to snap right into it and you don't need all this pre-stuff, you're not doing it wrong. So no. that's really important because we tend to, as intuitives, we tend to compare ourselves to each other and say, well, how come I can't do that? Or right. how come I have to do this? Or, you know, blah, blah. Yeah. And it's really just because you're not that person.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I have a lot of students that, or even clients that I've had to teach to tap in more to their heart yeah. than to even their third eye.
Yeah.
Because they are more of an empath that can connect to their heart, you know? So as they connect to their heart, they're like, they can have a better understanding of somebody. But if I make, or not make them, but if I ask them, let's tap into your third eye, like, what do you see? They are like, I don't see anything, right. you know? Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I'm not seeing anything. Yeah. But then I'm like, okay, when I tap in and it's like, go to their heart. They feel everything from the heart. I'm like, okay, what do you yes. see from your heart? Now this person can start rolling. They're like, well, mm-hmm. you know, they felt this and they felt that. And you know, I was feeling kind of this. And so everybody is different, but I think it's kind of allowing your gifts or allowing your strengths to take over a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
Let them
yeah.
take over a little bit.
I would be super interested in comparing, like just doing like a kind of like research based off of how people connect and looking at their human design chart and looking at where their power center is. And if that coincides with their human design, like if that, yeah. Because I know for my power center is my solar plexus.
Your authority, how you make decisions. Mm-hmm. You can also find that information too in your numerology and in your astrology too.
Yeah.
But yes, because your human design is your energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd just be interested in just like doing like a poll.
Let's right. just do anything. This to me, this is the most fascinating conversation is how are you intuitive? How does your energy work?
Yeah.
Yes. And I love asking clients those questions too. You know, like when you do feel connected, what's happening, you know, or what do you use, or even talking to them about it, because everybody is so different, yeah. so different with what they connect with. And sometimes it's based on what you're going through at that moment.
Yep. Yeah.
100%. You could be in a lesson of having to listen to your heart more than your mind, or vice versa, you know? So,
yeah. All right. So I have one final question for you. And because we notice this. I know Joe gets this a lot, where you go into patterns with clients. Like you're seeing a lot of kind of the same, a lot of, and that's never by coincidence. I think it's just what the community and the people around you require in that moment. What are you seeing right now? Like what is there an overall like kind of encompassing message that is kind of keeps coming through for a variety of people?
That's a great question, because you're absolutely right. My clients, my world attracts a certain consciousness based upon where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and that's for all of us. We attract the consciousness that we need yeah. or the soul contracts or whatever it is. And currently I think that because we're moving from a lot of the root chakra, sacral and solar plexus of learning, and not moving from, but I should say moving through mm-hmm. in 2023, we're really moving through that root chakra of trying to come out of, like I mentioned earlier, survival, lack of safety, not feeling stable, not understanding ourselves from a point of view or even with a perception of being able to feel safe yeah. within who we yeah. are. Just something that simple, like, oh, this is who I am and that's okay.
Yes.
Even something that much. I think we were really trying to learn that in 2023. And now what I'm seeing is that, and even working with, Joe mentioned it earlier, working with the central nervous system is the solar plexus, mm-hmm. right? And then I had a lot of people who were having to learn the sacral, which is our emotions.
Yes.
Because that those three together, the lower chakras, the solar plexus, the sacral, and the root chakra are so they're right next to each other, right? From your feet to your hips to your stomach, that those lower chakras are so interconnected that one can often kind of trigger the other, yeah. right? If your solar plexus has anxiety, you're going to feel unsafe in the root chakra. If you feel unsafe in the root chakra, you're probably going to be very emotional about that, which is the sacral, and not allow you to create and understand your divinity, yeah. right? So simple example there. But I think now moving forward, as I was seeing 2024, and even just currently, is that there's this shift in consciousness where we understand that now. And now it's almost like we're shifting into the heart chakra.
Yeah.
And I think that this is kind of almost, I keep seeing a lot of synchronicities and that emerald green color. And I'm, you know, right. hearing a lot about passion and purpose. People are coming to me with direction. That's very much the heart chakra. So I think it's we're going to be learning how to find our power in loving ourselves through various consciousness, but I also think it might even be experiencing our power by shifting the consciousness that limits how we love ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's
energy.
And that's very Aquarian right. too, though.
Yep.
The experiencing all that and experiencing not just what it means for yourself, but what it means outwardly, once you trust yourself and love yourself and what that does with your relationship with others and in community and empathy for the other. So that's exciting.
And I think too, this new version of ourselves is coming through, I think, through the heart. And I think we're going to be brought through the heart a lot with the number 8 and with the dragon energy as well. And I think it's literally so that we are giving ourselves support for that healthy foundation that we want. We're giving ourselves the emotional support to start something new. We're giving ourselves the allowing ourselves to change. But in a grander sense, it is self-love. Yeah. It's self-compassion. It's self-nurturing. And because if you can't... How do I put this? There's so much change, right? There's just we are in the world right now is changing so much. The consciousness is now shifting with Pluto. We're really coming out of a lot of this distorted masculine energy. Mm-hmm. And as we come into more of the divine feminine energy, understanding ourselves a little bit more in this component, it's going to bring us into the heart chakra, which is the chakra that represents our soul, right? Yeah. It's our soul. This is about giving, learning our power is going to come with that change, but it's going to affect our lower chakras because those are the ones that hold the ground.
Yeah.
Right. So as these changes are occurring, we have to give ourselves and love ourselves enough to provide some type of mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual support to go through those changes, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So it's kind of like we learned the basics and now we're getting into the part where we get into the details, the implementation. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that we're going to be doing that from a very different space this year.
Yes. And really quickly, just to expand on that, if you break the next 20 years down into maybe quarters, right? So right now we're in that heart centered energy, like you're talking about, but Aquarius is cerebral. They're the thinker. So at some point, we're going to get to that heart-brain coherence, which is actually the foundation of manifestation, right? When the brain and the heart when the desire is the same as our beliefs, that's when we manifest into the material. So the way that Aquarius is going to work it's going to be a slow, long, drawn out process, but oh my God, in 20 years, we're going to look back and go, as we're getting ready to enter into Pluto and Pisces, which is going to be a whole different thing. I hope I'm kicking and alive and ready for that. But, it's the coolest transformation that's going to happen. And I'm obsessed with it. I am literally obsessed with this thing. I don't even know why.
And I think because it's an Aquarius, it's going to be all of humanity.
Yes. Yes. Humanity.
Right. This is about humanity. This is about how we work, how we, you know, walk through our lives, and how we walk through our reality is really going to be shifting for the next 20 years. And I think the newbies, the newborns, all the, you know, it's all going to just land so perfectly if you take a look at it. But yeah, I think that it's going, the Aquarius energy itself is, like you said, it's so cerebral. It's with purpose. I'm an Aquarius. I know everything has to have a purpose behind it. You don't just do things to do things. It has to make sense for everybody, and it has to be for the benefit, for the highest and best. And it has to be, you know, but change and progress.
Yes. Yes. It's exciting. Yeah. It's an exciting time.
Yeah. Yeah. Exciting time to be alive.
Well, we're really glad that you were able to sit down and have this talk with us today. Now, we'll include your links and everything in our show notes, but just so everybody knows, what's the best way to connect with you?
Probably through the website, which also has, you know, the contact email where you can contact me. Uh-huh. So I would just say the website, which is Vibe2Vibe, V-I-B-E-T-O-V-I-B-E. The idea is that we shift from vibe to vibe, right? So you see me, you're in one vibe, you're going to shift to another vibe. It's all about vibrations and energy and consciousness. So yeah, definitely vibe2vibe.com.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Santana. It was.
Thank you, guys. I was ecstatic to do this. I lost my mind when you asked me. I was jumping around the room. So I was so excited to do this. And I'm so grateful for your episodes before this, the episodes to come, and you just being leaders in the, you know, the podcast industry with all this spirituality and standing here and saying, this is what we do. This is who we are. And I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful and honored.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, friends, that means it's time to say goodbye. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share on your stories, subscribe, and leave us a review. This helps our podcast grow. And if we grow, that means the ability to do this work grows with it.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Stay mystical, magical, and don't let anyone tell you what to do.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.